Welcome to the Geek Lounge and the first show of 2017. Sig here, reminding you that you can find the show on Facebook at the Geek Lounge and on Twitter at the Geek _ Lounge. Usually you'd hear Luis and Adam hosting the show, but something happened outside the studio today, you guys. I guess they both got detained for some reason, and I'm not sure what's really going on. Some kind of a court issue.
Check over there. I'll check over here. Roger that.
Whoa. Excuse me, can I help you guys?
There's no need for alarm. We're merely combing the area for suspicious people like the men outside. Per the Emperor's orders, we are to detain and arrest anyone deemed to be an enemy of the Empire. Hail the Emperor! Make the Empire great again!
Well, there's nobody more suspicious than those two guys, but what happens to the enemies of the Empire, per se?
Well, they get sent to a work camp or something. I'm not sure, I don't know.
Yeah, way above our pay grade. So, what do you guys got going on here?
Well, I was doing a podcast with those guys. I mean, by myself. Yeah, I'm just doing a podcast by myself here. And, hey, here's a crazy question. Do you guys want to be guests on a podcast? You know, I really could use them, like I said, solo.
It's not a rebel signal, is it?
Oh, no. Only Imperial signals here. We're on iTunes.
Well, we did arrest 43 people in the last hour. I guess we could use a break.
Great.
Yeah.
Have a seat, you guys. Watch your vacuumed form seats area.
Yeah,
there,
kind of.
I just,
yeah.
Whoa! Watch where you point that rifle. Jeez.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yep, right there. What made you guys want to become stormtroopers? Let's start with that. How can I become a stormtrooper? I'd love that.
Well, we didn't really have a choice. You know, you're just kind of born into this job.
So
although we are encouraged to be whatever we want once we finish our required service. Yep.
How long is that?
8 years.
Yep, 8 years.
That's it?
Yep.
The Empire is not that bad.
Well, you know.
Oh, so when do you finish your required service?
8 years.
8 years.
What's your lifespan as a clone?
8 years.
Oh, harsh.
Yeah.
What's it like working for the Empire, besides your whole life?
Well, imagine working a 9-to-5 job, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that you were born into, where you're either under harsh conditions, in danger of being shot,
yep,
or both, and you don't get paid.
It's true.
It's pretty sweet.
It is.
The Empire has really taken the guesswork out of my finances.
I mean, look at the way this armor fits.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
convinced mine came off the battlefield.
Really?
Yeah. That's like someone had it, and then they just gave it to me.
I guess I got a new set, but then again, how would you know? It did all of us.
That's true.
Must be easy on the tailor.
Yes.
What do you guys say to those people that compare you guys to, like, Nazis?
You know what? That statement is not only false, it is unfair.
It is.
I mean, think about it. Nazis enslaved and killed an entire people discriminately.
True.
We find those who don't share our viewpoints and punish them by enslaving and killing them indiscriminately.
That is true.
Oh.
That is very true.
Yep.
Loopholes, huh?
Doesn't matter who you are, you speak out against the Empire, you're going down.
That's right. We don't discriminate.
That's the one thing we don't do is discriminate.
You just blindly fire at anybody. I mean,
not
it looks
anybody.
Like
just
you're
those
whoa,
blind.
Whoa, whoa. You know, I get tired of those jokes.
I'm sorry. Some people, not me,
you
say
gotta,
that you guys are like bad.
We were under orders to let them escape the Death Star in hopes of finding the Rebel base. Come on, you think we missed all those shots by accident? Yeah, do you know how hard it is to see in these helmets, first of all?
That's true, yeah.
Aiming is not even an option in these things. It is literally the worst thing that you can wear when shooting a gun of any kind.
Correct.
You just put your faith in the Force and just fire that thing.
Force?
What's the Force?
We don't believe in any of that mumbo jumbo.
Stormtroopers are a Force, sir.
Speaking of the Force, have you guys ever worked with Darth Vader? You know? What was that like?
Oh, yeah. Big Black?
Stop calling him that, would you? He'll Force choke you.
Come on, he's from the 70s. He'll probably like that.
You know, whatever. And let me tell you something about this guy. He's not as cool as everyone thinks, all right? You know, I used to be stationed on a Death Star, and it was pretty sweet. But then we had that whole thing happen with the what's the name of that ship? The Aluminum Hawk or the
Falcon, I think.
The Millennium Falcon. Yeah, whatever.
The tinfoil pigeon.
Yeah, and he goes through the camera footage, right? Sees me bump my head. Again, hard to see in these things, right? And then he reassigns me to tattooing? Whatever. Smells like an old carburetor anyway.
Whoa, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, Big Black. I mean,
You know what? I don't care if he hears. I don't care. Whatever.
What if you get fired? Like, what would you be doing if you weren't a stormtrooper?
What?
Well, if you weren't a stormtrooper, what would you be doing with your 8 years?
Totally have an herb farm on Dantooine. That's what I'd be doing.
What kind of answer is that?
My life is being a stormtrooper.
You're damn right. You know what? If I wasn't a stormtrooper, I would do everything in my power to become a stormtrooper.
Jeez. Yavol.
You know, I mean, what kind of question is that? It's like asking, what would you do if you weren't a podcaster or whatever?
Literally anything else.
That's stupid.
That's dumb.
That's dumb and you're dumb for believing.
What do you guys do in your downtime?
You know, it depends on where stationed, to be honest. I mean, if you're not stationed on a place like the Death Star or something like that, you can always, like, Mos Eisley, for instance. You can go to the cantina. You can find a way to kill time. Funny story.
Oh, my God. Yes. Can we talk about this one time, this guy, right? We're stationed at Mos Eisley. We went down to the cantina and got so wasted on Ebla beer that we convinced him to get a tattoo of Finger and Dan and the modal nose on his lower back. Show him!
Show him!
Get it removed! Show it to him! It's really good.
It's gonna look like a bouquet of butts on your butt. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly what I don't want to show you.
I remember saying to him, you're gonna have a tattoo of basically buttholes on your lower back, and he was totally for the idea. He was that drunk.
Oh my God.
What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you on the job? Like,
I successfully shot someone one time.
What?
I hit him.
No, you did. When was this?
Not one time. We were in Anchorhead at Tashi Station. Remember, I hit the Jawa.
You weren't even aiming for that Jawa. Remember, you were aiming for the broadside of that barn. I said you couldn't hit.
I still hit him. Okay, you know, how many of us can say that? You're always so negative with your true statements and your logic.
Okay, you guys.
Why don't you ever support me, huh? I mean, we're partners.
All right.
Death do you part.
Your fault the droids got past us.
Only 3 years left.
Because some old man waved his hand in your face.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, this episode's going to be all about Rogue One. Did you guys see the movie? What'd you think?
I thought it was an absolutely brilliant film. I mean, wow. It's a classic underdog story. Brave heroes risking life and limb to save the galaxy from the tyranny brought upon us by those insidious rebels.
That's right.
Truly inspiring.
Stormtroopers giving it all to get the job done. For the Emperor.
Stormtroopers for life.
And I guess it's true what they say from Ascendant and Pine Avio. Well, I guess the interview's been great, guys. We're running out of time, and I guess this segment will have just one more question to ask. What would you say is, like, the overall goal of the Empire? Like, what do you guys hope to accomplish in the universe?
Well, that is actually a pretty simple question. I can answer that in one word, and that word is...
Crap!
What?
Oh, hang on. I'm getting an emergency transmission. Roger, we'll be right there. Those guys we caught earlier escaped custody. Apparently the older one was wilder than we thought and karate kicked his way out while the other one screamed like a girl.
All right, we gotta go.
All right, guys. Well, I guess thanks for sitting down with me for a little bit. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Let's go for the Empire.
Empire rule. Rebels rule, y'all.
Come on.
Wow. All right, let's take a break, and I hope we'll see those two guys again. Luis and Adam, you're out there taking it to the man. And you guys stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, Rod Rosdauer here, but you can call me Rocket. After a hard day of saving the universe, I like to sit back, pop a cold one, and listen to the Geek Lounge.
The Geek Lounge? Oh boy, turn it on, Rocket!
I told you, only my friends call me Rocket.
Sorry, Rod.
No, I'm Captain Rosdauer to you, Space Cadet.
Sorry, Captain.
Anyway, join Luis and Adam as they navigate through the world of comics, movies, games of both the video and tabletop variety, and so much more.
Golly, let's listen to the Geek Lounge right now.
Are you still here? Don't you have Holonet in your own room?
The captain's right. Join us for a new episode of the Geek Lounge every week. We'll see you there.
Okay. I'm a little freaked out, but...
Welcome to the Geek Lounge.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone.
Wow.
That was a hell of a day.
What a harrowing thing.
Yeah. What happened to you guys?
We got stopped out in front of the studio for not having papers. I didn't even know what papers they wanted. I don't understand what...
He fucking... Oh, sorry. He totally dumped my monster out of my hand, though. Ticked me off.
Yeah, it was weird.
What's up with that? I'm like tired. Yeah, I worked last night. What the heck?
Yeah, then they detained us and they threw us in a, I don't know, like some
detainment thing.
Yeah, the detainment vehicle, I guess. Yeah,
I don't know.
And was then, it pretty and cool then, though? Was that detainment vehicle?
It only went like a mile an hour and had no suspension. Yeah. It was terrible.
But was it designed by Doug Chang? That's all I want to care.
I don't think this one was. I think this was an old Ron Cobb design.
Yeah. Either
not
way.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad.
We had to both kind of fight our way out of it.
Yeah.
We both bravely karate kicked our way out of the...
Right.
That's crazy.
Both of us.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Both of us with my foot.
Yeah. Well, I was doing stuff. But we were back to back.
I will
like the class, like the classic Wolverine Origins movie. We were back to back, Wolverine and Sabretooth. You just didn't see what I was doing. That girlish scream, the shriek, was one of the stormtroopers.
It did shock me and force me to kick harder, though. However,
So
teamwork.
Yeah, that's it. All right,
we got out, and hopefully they don't find us in here.
Yeah.
Hey,
what about you? What happened with
Nobody
you?
Nobody knows we're here.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Nothing except I had to like. Bullcrap myself for like through a whole interrogation session with two troopers.
Whoa.
Oh.
I had two big old troopers here with laser guns in my face.
Crazy.
Well, I wouldn't say the one trooper's that old.
Not that I would know. They were a little big for stormtroopers.
They could have been more than six or seven tops.
It's
crazy.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
they didn't have a Kiwi accent, which was weird. That's the weirdest part.
For the Empire.
For that bloody Empire.
General Kenobi.
I found this. You know how you're always telling your Padawan to not lose his saber? I found
that is so good.
I just found yours.
Did I ever tell you about that scene in the book? Because I read the book. I hated Revenge of the Sith, the movie.
Uh-huh.
But a friend talked me into reading the book. And that scene where... Obi-Wan loses lightsaber.
Yeah, and Cody finds it.
Cody finds it, and Cody's like, oh, hey, Obi-Wan, here's your lightsaber. And literally, Obi-Wan grabs the lightsaber, walks away, and Order 66 comes through the headset, and he's like, oh, why didn't they give me that order about 10 seconds ago?
Awesome.
Like, he's just like, oh, man.
Oh, I just gave the one thing that it can stop all of us.
Yeah. We all love Star Wars, but we're here on this episode.
That's right, yes.
For one thing, which is Rogue One, which came out a few weeks ago.
Rogue One?
Is that a Star Wars movie?
It's a Star Wars story. Like I said, it came out a few weeks ago, and we've had
some time to reflect.
Yeah.
I saw it 3 weeks ago.
Spoiler alert.
You saw it 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw it a while ago, yeah.
If you live in Russia, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. We're still waiting on episode 3.
I'm going to see Empire Strikes Back next week.
Man,
all right. This isn't pre-Soviet Russia.
Yeah,
right.
they probably had it before we did.
Yeah,
nowadays. So Rogue One thoughts.
Loved it.
You loved it.
Yeah, I liked it. I did like it for all it's not like. Don't get me wrong. This movie had a lot of faults and a lot of things that I didn't like. But for the most part, like in its entirety, I actually kind of liked it.
Me too.
They fixed
the stupid weakness of the Death Star, which is amazing.
They gave it
plausibility.
Plausibility,
yeah.
Which was way more than we've ever.
Yeah. Well, it was cool. I like that. I liked it. I like Mad Mikkelsen giving the line. He's awesome. He's always awesome.
Yeah.
it seems like his forte now in Hollywood is like, let's hire him because he has like presence and gravitas, and we don't have to spend a lot of time explaining him as a character.
Yeah.
It's like, that seems to be his thing now.
He doesn't have to eat people.
I just like that we don't have to argue anymore about why there was this one little
exactly
the exhaust port thing at the Death Star.
Well, presumably there was a lot of exhaust ports.
Yeah.
He just put in the flaw that caused the chain reaction.
Right, but I'm just saying, without this movie, we don't have to listen to people like, well, why does the Death Star have all this and this? And this? Well, there you go. Yeah. Right here, Rogue One. This is why. It's got it.
Did you ever see the little 8-bit video about the guy, supposedly the guy that designed the Death Star, and he's just like, it has an exhaust port. It needs an exhaust port. We're talking about something that's literally this big on something the size of a moon.
Right.
How would we know that somebody would be able to shoot into that thing?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But anyway, I digress.
That would have had to happen in conjunction with all this. You know, that guy, you had to have a whole crew. All them scientists that got murdered,
they all should
have been on board with the like, yay, more exhaust ports, of course, because science.
Because this thing runs hot.
Yeah.
It destroys planets. It runs hot.
Runs a hat.
Yeah. I didn't really like the whole finger of God thing where they just kept pew, poking planets in the eyeball. That was supposed to be a planet destroying threat, not a eye poker.
Yeah, it seemed like that wasn't explained adequately, at least not to me, unless I missed something. Because I could see like, well, just a little test. Well, how about it's not operational yet? We're only getting about 30% power, 20% power.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that would have been more plausible.
Yeah, I like that.
But it seemed like they were kind of half. Because, I mean, he even says A New Hope, because, of course, that now we're comparing movies. Like, well, now it's fully operational.
Yeah, we're going to test it. Yeah. This will be the first test.
And they just straight up blew up Alderaan.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so. But yeah, that was kind of odd.
It's a weird thing where that part was like what a lot of movies suffer from. It's like you watch A New Hope and you're like, okay, this is their peak of technology.
Yep.
And then we go back a few years, and it's just point and click.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Where it's like it's more advanced in the past than it would be in the present, where you would find the...
You know, that's always a tricky thing, though.
Sure.
I mean, Alien and Prometheus kind of did that same thing. Well, why is, that was the argument my brother actually gave, and I'm like, well... I said, look at it this way. Those are truck drivers. They're not going to pay top dollar for ships. Prometheus was like the corporate flagship.
Yep. Right?
I mean,
true. I love that space trekking stuff, man. Yeah, I love that.
But that's always a hard thing because technology advances and things look antiquated and anachronistic. But I mean, how do you get around that? You know?
No, yeah, you're right.
And it's all different stuff. Like if you are driving down the street, you can see FJ cruisers and BMWs and whatever. But if you go to India, you're going to see a lot of little tricycle buses.
Buses. But that's another interesting point. Like, a lot of times, like, big-budget Hollywood movies, if it takes place in, like, 1944, if in the movie, all the cars are, like, from 1944.
Yeah.
But if you look at pictures from, like, any given year, very few cars are actually from that year. They're actually, like, the 10 to 15 years before that.
Right.
Like, if you look at cars in the 70s, like, pictures of big cities in the 70s,
most
of the cars driving around are actually from the late 60s.
Right.
Very few of them are actually new. And I always thought that was like an interesting thing. There's always older stuff. We're constantly moving forward, but our stuff that we create is like dragging behind us, if that makes sense.
Right.
So yeah, you're always going to get that disparity. I don't know. That's a weird thing.
Which has everything to do with Rogue One.
But yeah, I mean, the story of Rogue One, I really liked.
Me too. Like, it was straight out of the crawl from episode 4.
Yeah, and it was a shame we didn't get a crawl. I thought that, I don't know why they didn't do that. They could have.
No, I think it's Star cool.
Stardate 2561 supplemental.
Well, I think
A New Hope 0.5. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm fine with the whole no crawl. Like, the crawl is to catch us up on huge gaps of time. There was nothing to catch up on at this point.
Well, I don't know. Just like, I would have liked to see a crawl.
Yeah, me too. To reiterate, like, episode 3 or what happened in between then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even from what there was, like, that show that took place between, right?
Yeah.
Was not Rebels, but the old one, the
Clone Wars. Rebels took place in between. Clone Wars was before episode 3.
Before episode 3, and then Rebels is after.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, then Rebels. But, like, you know, just something, because not everyone watches Rebels. I don't watch Rebels.
I don't watch Rebels.
I do.
So
it's great.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it better than Clone Wars?
No.
The CGI Clone Wars was really disappointing to me.
Maybe at the beginning, like that first movie was horrible, but like, man, season two and all the way through season seven, amazing. And Rebels, the entire thing is amazing. So they don't go any higher as far as better or whatever.
Gotcha.
But it's really, really good, the entire thing.
The artwork,
the spaceships, the lore, they don't pull any punches like Hollywood does.
So it leads into Rogue One very well, or?
Yeah. They're doing that as we speak. Yeah. Like the last few episodes have really been.
So without nitpicking, the one thing that did fail for me for Rogue One was the things that weren't intrinsic to the story of Rogue One, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
On a personal level, seeing CGI Peter Cushing actually ticked me off, but he worked for the story.
Yeah,
it was like the whole Darth Vader scene, which in and of itself wasn't a bad scene, and the Carrie Fisher scene. Those bothered me,
right.
Like they just seemed really out of place to me.
Yeah,
the end scene, the
middle one. The middle one was fine.
Well, that was actually my next question. What didn't we all said we liked Rogue One? What didn't you like about Rogue One?
The end seemed like it all of a sudden tried to do and say different things. Yeah. Like, we all of a sudden have this scene with a blockade runner, but it escapes, and I didn't understand. Like, I'm just like, wait, what? okay, the New Hope starts with it getting captured. I don't understand why all I'm seeing is Darth killing a bunch of dudes, and then all of a sudden, you know. I mean, is that supposed to take place in the middle of it? It didn't make sense to me. It seemed a little forced.
Here's the thing about that scene. I did like the scene.
Me too.
But I am with you on that it didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
It didn't belong there. Yeah. It seemed odd for us to go into. Yeah. Because at the beginning of the first one, she's basically just saying, like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was on a diplomatic mission. Like, they were just treading around, not really worrying about the Empire behind
spy stuff.
You know what I mean?
Spy stuff.
But then
spy stuff.
Her blockade runner was captured at the end of this, and then they escapes and it goes.
Yeah,
and it's
I didn't
like,
get that.
Okay,
that's weird to me. Weird. Yeah.
Well, that could have been. I'm very sure that's a Disney decision.
Put it in a nutshell. That's how Clone Wars and Rebels are. That whole end. Really? Part of Rogue One. That's how this TV series is.
Like,
it's like
stuff
action
doesn't
packed.
Make sense.
No. It makes sense in its own thing. Not that.
Well, okay.
It doesn't make sense attached to the whole movie.
But the ending,
that
the
whole
big
thing,
scene,
yeah,
the
big
fight
war scene.
Scene.
It's very exciting. Those TV shows, and they only have like a half hour to put it all.
Yeah.
So yeah, Darth Vader does come and he dogfights and he throws TIE fighters at Jedi.
I was glad to see that in the show.
It's amazing.
Dogfighting. I was glad to see dogfighting.
Actual dogfighting, not that weird Force Awakens sort of weird thing JJ did that I didn't care for. But
yeah. What, like
spaceships never being in space, for instance.
Yeah,
that was
crazy.
Weird to me. But
Star Wars, not Sky Wars, JJ.
You know, and one thing that really did bug me, R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yeah, they did have a cameo if you haven't seen it yet. But the cameo was
it didn't make like
it
just
was
should have
so
been on the
forced.
Ship. Yeah, should have been on the blockade.
You could have easily had them make sense to the story, and they didn't. They had some weird little one-off cameo.
Yeah, let me.
Oh my! Nobody tells me nothing.
Let me explain this real quick. Right, so they get on the ship to go. To do the mission that they were told they couldn't do.
Yep.
And as the ship takes off out of the docking bay, you see them kind of come out, and R2's talking to C-3PO, and he says, nobody tells me anything. And that was
what?
It was weird. It was a weird scene.
You could have easily.
We're going to Alderaan to set up episode 4? That's nuts. That's what C-3PO said.
Yeah, basically.
Like, you didn't need to throw. You could have had them in there. I didn't want to see them in there, but you could have had them in there on the blockade.
In their defense,
and it would have worked. Like, you could have easily had them in there and it worked. I think the biggest mistake was C-3PO, and I think Lucas made the mistake in episodes 1, 2, and 3, and now Disney seems content to continue to make that mistake, because I'm going to be in denial, and I refuse to believe Gareth Edwards made that mistake.
Isn't there a thing that
they've just decided to make C-3PO like blatant comic relief? And it's like, no, C-3PO was comic relief because of who he was as a character.
But now
you're just making him a clown.
Yeah.
And that bothers me.
That sucks. He should be an interpreter, not a clown.
What made him funny is the fact that he was essentially a program to be a stiff English butler.
Yeah.
Not because he would just deliver a stupid line like a clown.
Right.
That bothered me.
And also, what about that thing that says all of Star Wars is being told by the was witnessed by the droids, you know? So maybe that's why they put him in there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, don't forget, that's the prime directive that those droids are in every single movie.
Well, I don't buy that, first of all. If Lucas wanted to do that, he failed in the prequel trilogies, which is fine. You didn't need it for the prequel trilogies. So a lot of that was forced, too. But the first three, I get that, because that was sort of his vision, which shows you that he did have a vision back then, and somehow he lost that vision along the way. Or he, like we've argued before, he surrounded himself by people who just couldn't or wouldn't tell him no.
Yeah.
Because he became a living legend in a lot of ways. Yeah,
I think that's what it was.
That was it.
But yeah, like the first movies, it works because, you know, he was essentially dipping into Kira Kurosawa's bucket there with Hidden Fortress with the farmers.
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked.
That was pretty cool how he invited Akira to check out all his stuff on Empire.
Did. Yeah, he did.
Oh,
he
I didn't know
look,
that.
Man, look what you gave birth to. You're awesome, and I love you.
And he's just like, I don't speak English.
He's like, so no samurai in this movie.
You've been talking to me like a mile a minute, and I have no idea what's happening. I thought there would be a translator provided. I guess not.
Here's a little-known Akira Kurosawa anecdote. Seven Samurai was his first samurai, feudal Japan film.
Wow.
He actually before that, he was not known for that. Well, he had some big movies before that, just not
outside of Japan. But, I mean, knocked it out of the park at the bad samurai. Wow.
All right, so let me ask this. This movie
is Rogue One better than Seven Samurai? That's not what you're gonna say.
I'm sure there's young people out there going, yeah, because I don't know what Seven Samurai is.
And so you should be ashamed.
Your parents should be ashamed.
Yeah, that too.
So the movie as a whole, obviously we know where it's supposed to go in the whole Star Wars chronologically, the story and everything.
Yeah.
Does it fit?
It fits perfectly, except for the crazy handling of that last scene.
I guess what I'm asking is, does it work? Does it work as this sort of bridge between episode 4 and whatever is between episode 3? Yeah.
It does, but I don't think... Okay, let me...
It does because they didn't deviate from the opening crawl of episode 4.
It doesn't work.
Right.
Because the question was, does it bridge the gap between episode 3 and 4? No, it does not.
No, it doesn't.
It is a satisfying prequel to episode 4.
Sure. They didn't deviate from that opening crawl, so
honestly,
that's perfect.
Honestly, the best story that bridged the gap between episode 3 and 4, I still feel, is the Force Unleashed video game.
The first one.
The first one. That, I thought story-wise, was amazing. Did you ever play that game?
No. Yeah. Why didn't they make that movie?
I wish. Holy crap. The guy's
Disney. We have money.
The guy's still young enough to play that part.
We still have money in our pockets, Disney. Come
essentially,
get it.
To make it very brief with before we take a break, movie. I'm you know what? We'll talk about it after because I'm getting off your topic. What did you think? Did it bridge the gap between?
It did not bridge the gap, but it was a great prequel because they didn't deviate from that opening crawl. It was everything in the opening crawl. And also, don't forget that movie's main job was to introduce a bunch of different stories from throughout the galaxy that has nothing to do with the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
So that happened.
In that way, it was successful.
We got a bunch of different guys living in that mess. Hmm. So hopefully we'll get another movie like that, you know?
This
was a good way to break the ice because they did it in that opening crawl that we all memorized.
Right.
So
where would you, real quick before we go to break, where would you rank this movie in your Star Wars as your favorite movie?
Because
we all got them ranked.
What was Forrest Whitaker's character? Che Guevara?
Saw Guevara.
Star Wars Che Guevara. Was he related to Lando? Yes or no?
No.
I mean, we're going to go into a whole thing with how there's three African-American people in space.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not true.
Where does it rank as a whole?
Yeah, personally in your... If I know you, you're like me.
Four.
Obviously, number one is Empire, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay.
Fourth.
Yeah.
So fourth.
Fourth for fourth. Me.
Okay.
Fourth for me.
After too. Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's the original trilogy and then that one.
Well, the original trilogy out of order and then. And
I'm
then
guessing
Rogue
yours
one.
Is the same as mine, right? So it'll be Empire.
Correct.
New Hope.
Ding.
Jedi.
Yep. And then Rogue
Actually,
one.
I like Jedi.
No, I like Jedi, too.
I was still fairly young, so for me, Jedi, I know a lot of like a lot of people younger than me who are just like, yeah, Jedi's all right. But I'm like, nah, Jedi was awesome. When that came out, we were just all like, oh, this is amazing. I was, I think, 12 or 13 when that came out.
So it's Jedi, then New Hope?
Yeah, okay. Jedi, then New Hope. Because New Hope, I have to say, New Hope, objectively, when I watched it when I got older, I'm like, this is not that good. It was different at the time.
I love it right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like a big old Western.
Yeah, but it's like it's so simple compared to the other
films. Hella simple.
It's so simple.
It's like, to me, it's like an art film. Yeah. You know, it's all hella slow and
But yeah, okay.
What the heck is going on? I need acid for this.
And then 4 would be Rogue One for you too?
I would say so, yeah.
Nice.
Okay. I would say, is your
Rogue One's 4.
Let me take a guess. Is your bottom the new one,
Number
Force
2.
Awakens?
Attack of the
Clones. Oh yeah.
It's worse than Attack of the Clones.
I got my own thoughts about Attack of the Clones. I don't rate Attack of the Clones that low, actually. Attack of the Clones has one huge problem, and when that problem is sort of dealt with, the movie on itself is actually a really good Star Wars film.
Which is very easy to deal with.
That's right. And I will explain that later, because we are running long. I'll explain it later. So where do you rank it on? Yes, it's Force Awakens is definitely lowest.
It's definitely 4. No, The Force Awakens, besides them having a freaking Death Star in the goddamn movie, I like that movie.
You liked Force Awakens?
Yeah, okay. But I do not like the Death Star.
So where does Rogue One rank for you?
Yeah, 4th. Yeah.
4th? Same after thing. What?
It's Empire, New Hope, Jedi, Rogue One.
Nice. So we're all, we're all pretty much the same, pretty much close, yeah.
You can't really dispute Empire if you know anything
that's
about
true. Enough, that's anything. True. Yeah, that is true. Empire was just a fantastic film. All right, cool. So let's, ready for a break?
Yeah, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about the direction of Star Wars and what Disney's planning to do, or what we predict Disney's going to do, I guess. Yeah. So stick around. We'll be right back.
To Dagobah, we will take you.
Ben, come get some wicked good yub nubs.
Now you're in the cave of the Blight Dragon. He sees you and begins to rear his head to attack. What do you do?
I draw my mythical blade of Tyrande.
Roll for your attack.
Natural 20, a critical hit.
Keep it down, guys. I'm trying to listen to the Geek Lounge.
The Geek Lounge? What's that?
It's a really awesome show that talks about comics, movies, video games, and all things geek-related.
Do they make fun of blatant stereotypes like us?
Nah, they're pretty cool. They even taught me how to get girls.
Did they really?
No, but I bet they get a lot of girls.
That's right, Cecil. We do. Ah, who's that?
It's Adam from the Geek Lounge!
Yep, that's me. Tune in every week for new episodes as Luis and I discuss geekdom, pop culture, and everything in between.
If I listen, will you get out of my house?
Is there any Mountain Dew in that fridge?
I only have 2 left.
Tune in every week.
My Mountain Dew!
I have news for you on the Master Sail Barge, and I think you'll fill in nicely.
Welcome back to the Geek Lounge. I am Adam Smasher. I'm here with Sig and Luis.
What's up?
What's up? We're continuing our conversation, Star Wars Rogue One and the Disney scope of Star Wars, I guess.
And the women that love them.
That's right. But first, as I promised, if that's all right with you.
Please.
How to watch Attack of the Clones and make it one of the better Star Wars movies.
Dun, 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 dun,
it's very simple. Whoever put together the DVD chapters or the Blu-ray chapters did a very smart thing.
Smart man.
Anytime Padme and Anakin are on screen together, those are separate chapters. So after the initial, after Act 1, because I'm not talking about their reintroduction, because that's kind of part of the story.
Right.
After Act 1, when they become refugees, when that scene starts, skip scene. Mm-hmm. Anytime they appear together, skip scene. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, it will be a much better Star Wars film without those two and their ham-fisted love story.
Now this is.
I promise you, try it.
Now
try
this is
it.
every copy. Like they haven't changed it. Like,
as far as I know,
if I go out and buy like the most recent copy, it might be the same.
Well,
hopefully?
I would assume. I mean, sure. I only own it on DVD, so I can't vouch for the Blu-ray copy because I just didn't want stuff that was tinkered with even more and more.
Now, when I did that, I missed the entire final duel, so that's not cool.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
No. I was like, what?
Because that's when they that's the last time they talk.
They touch pee-pees?
You brought him here to kill me!
No, that's the third one. I'm talking about the second one.
Oh, my
the
bad.
The second
You're
one.
Right
Attack
about
of the
that.
Clones.
I'm so sorry.
Where they were on that weird planet, touching butts. That's how you have sex, right?
Touching butts.
I know. Wow. That you get that whole stupid thing about sand.
Sand.
It gets, course.
It gets everywhere.
It gets everywhere.
Yeah, nut up.
I'm telling you, skip that stuff. It is so much better. Like, I kid you not. I know we're joking about it, but I'm serious.
I'm going to go home and do that.
I as soon as they appear, just skip scene. I promise you it will be a much better film.
That whole scene, I was like, who wrote this garbage?
Well, here's something, and this had George come up. Lucas. This had come up before.
Yeah.
This actually plays into the whole Star Wars and how Disney is evolving it. Force Awakens, right? Which I thought, and I know you liked it, I thought Force Awakens was, for the most part, a terrible film.
Sure.
But Kylo Ren, I felt, was a much better realized version of Anakin than Anakin was.
Yeah.
Much better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which, and I think I also said this before, which I believe Adam Driver is more responsible for than the writing. Simply because I think... Because, I mean, when you look at that whole movie and how the characters are written, not a lot of depth there. So I think Adam Driver sort of understood something about the character that probably the writers at least didn't get.
And you know what the big difference is? That, that's what I'm guessing. You know, Luke grew up without a daddy.
Correct.
And, you know, I mean, Anakin grew up without a daddy.
That's not true. Anakin had a very strong father figure. He had two of them, actually.
No, the first 8 years of his life.
Qui-Gon
he didn't
and then
anything.
Obi-Wan. Well, Obi-Wan was more like a shitty big brother, but he was still
the
he
first
was still
eight
like
years
a male
of his
figure.
Life, though. He didn't have anything.
Okay, that's
at
fair.
Least Kylo Ren, you know, grew up in a warm home.
How do you know? We're never told.
Leia
that.
And Han on the Millennium Falcon.
Well, apparently, when things get a little rough, Han goes back to.
I was just about to say that.
Han basically goes back to the only thing apparently he's good at, and that's smuggling.
Isn't that crazy?
He's
that
which dad. Was stupid.
He's yeah, that dad that argues with the mom and then is like, grabs his jacket. Where are you going? I'm going for a drink. And then he doesn't come back for a few days. Like,
he's
weird.
Yeah. He's the sad old guy you see sitting in a bar with his hair still greased like it's the 70s, but he's pretending it's still the 50s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck? Yeah. With Chewbacca, by the way, who looks better than he ever did. I don't get that.
He's
at what
younger.
Point
he must have
he's
had some
younger.
Work done.
Yeah, he had some work done. He's Wookiee's using L'Oreal.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what the heck? Yeah.
Before we go on, would you say that a big part of it is because I think, and I think this, it's because Adam Driver is probably a better actor than Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Not that I have a problem with Hayden Christensen. A lot of people blame Hayden Christensen.
Oh, I don't blame Hayden Christensen at all.
Although
I have an argument for that.
I do like the name Anakin Skywalker. I think that's hilarious. But it's the same thing with like Natalie Portman, who's a great actress. I love Natalie Portman.
She's terrible in those
movies. But in those movies, she is not good.
Thought of that.
And it's the writing. And the writing is terrible.
And have you ever seen Jumper?
I'm a senator.
Yeah. It's not a great flick, but it is a good movie.
It was fun.
I enjoyed it. He's good in that.
Yeah.
He's good in that.
I saw him in a movie called Shattered Glass. I don't know if you ever watched it. That one, I liked him in it. He was good.
I hate Shattered Glass. It's coarse and it gets.
Well, technically, that is kind of Sam.
You got it coarse and it gets everywhere.
But that and you brought up the perfect point is if Lucas can make Natalie Portman look bad, as an actress,
whose fault is it?
How does Hayden Christensen stand a chance?
I have
no issues with him. It kind of bums me that he doesn't get at least a little more love. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah,
you know, and anyway, but so, yeah, you hit it right on the head there.
So Disney, what kind of direction do you think Disney is going with these Star Wars movies? Because I mean, from what I've personally seen in The Force Awakens, it just seems like they're just trying to hit you with that nostalgia for a different. It's like nostalgia, but also made for a different generation. Type
if I may interject.
I think that the whole nostalgia ride is J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
I think Disney just gives you a big pot of money and hire all the right people.
I doubt
Check
that.
Check this out. If it's any indication, the way Rogue One, how they were like, could we kill these rebels in a Disney movie? They're like, yeah, kill them all. Kathleen Kennedy was like, thumbs up on that.
Here's what I think. I think they both had the same idea. Right? Like, I think Disney was like, we're going to give you money to do this. However, we need these things. You need to put this in it. You need to put this in it. And JJ's just like, okay, because it's their first movie. They want to do something familiar. So JJ's like, okay, well, I'll just remake A New Hope, which I'm sure wasn't like him. And then Disney's just like, oh, whatever, we don't care. Just make it safe. Make it a safe movie. And JJ's okay, that's what I do. I do safe movies.
I was going to say, I agree with that, but I think that conversation went on with poor Gareth Edwards. Right. Where Gareth Edwards and whoever he was working with or whoever wrote it or Kathleen Kennedy said, here's a story we want to tell. And initially it was like, yeah. Okay, you got to put this in it. And you got to put this in it. And you got to put this in it. And I'm just, I hate that idea. I hate when you're watching a movie and then all of a sudden you get the distinct impression that somewhere behind the somewhere behind the bits, there's a producer going, hey, look. Look what we're showing you.
And that's,
we're giving you Darth Vader.
And that's so easy to see nowadays where you can just sit there and watch a movie and go, this is a good movie. And then something happens. You're like, studio. That was a studio decision.
Yeah. I hate that.
And well, it's like, well, even Civil War, which a lot of the Marvel movies tend to have that, but they're better done.
Sure.
They're like the good version of the R2-D2 and C-3PO cameo versus the crappy one that was actually in Rogue One.
Right.
Where you don't so much see it until afterwards. Like
Spider-Man.
But but even those, you're just like, you feel like, oh, come on. Sure. You know, like, all right. I mean, at least it was handled well. But
like I said, like The Force Awakens seems like the studio and J.J. Abrams had the same idea. So there was like no resistance. There was no fighting. Yeah. But like Gareth
Edwards.
And
that's his job.
Yeah.
He's brought in to do that kind of stuff. He's brought in to make a big, loud, safe,
bright
movie that people will love because for some reason people are hypnotized by his crap. I'm not a big J.J. Abrams fan.
Bright lights and big sounds.
Yeah. Love those Star Treks.
There's an interview with Gareth Edwards, and I don't know if he meant for this to kind of to be poking at J.J. Abrams, but he was talking about making Rogue One, and he was just like, you have to stay faithful to the source material, obviously, because this comes from some bigger story.
Yes.
So you have to stay faithful to that. At the same time, you have to bring a vision. As the director, you have to bring your own vision. I'm paraphrasing.
Isn't
verbatim.
I think I read that, too.
Yeah, but he's like, you got to make it your own in some way, or else what are you bringing to the table?
True.
Or else what are you doing? You're just making a movie that basically doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just the same thing. Like, what are you doing as a director to bring something new?
And
I think that was the difference was Gareth Edwards was more like, yeah, I'll do this, but I'm gonna do this. I've got a proven track record. Yeah. I'm gonna do this.
Well, and Disney's like, proven. But...
Well, not to you and me, but to the studios.
Yeah,
who,
fair.
Let's be fair. A lot of studios nowadays, a lot of execs.
How much
way
did
out
your
of
movies
touch,
make? Yeah,
way out of touch. Yeah, that's really more what it comes down to.
Well, the way he plays with scale.
Awesome.
He brought that to the table.
Even his Godzilla, which I didn't care for.
Right.
You can tell he had a vision. It was a bit pretentious, but he had a vision. I mean, it's there. So that's a good thing. And like that feeds into exactly what you said. Like to me, there was definitely a vision in Rogue One. And for me, I'm willing to bet that the parts that don't seem like they're part of the vision, I'm willing to bet 9 out of 10 of those things were not him and had nothing to do with
it. The droids wedged in, the blockade runner scene, I'm sure that was all studio execs just like, no, we got to put Darth Vader in. We're going to put more Vader
in. Well, that's fine.
We need more droids in it. We need more this. We need more that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
On some ways it didn't work. But like Disney already now has 2 Star Wars movies under their belt. They're going to have obviously, 4 more? I would say,
because
they're making a new trilogy plus Boba Fett and the Han Solo movie.
Yeah.
Do you like that they're sort of going in this same direction? It seems like they're just going like the same way.
I don't at all. Actually, the director for episode, what is it now? 8 or 9?
Episode 9.
Eight. I love that director, by the way. Love that director. And that is probably the only reason I'm going to even bother watching that movie.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, in all honesty, Boba Fett solo movie, unless it takes place before The Empire Strikes Back, don't care. Young Han Solo movie, really do not care. I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
why isn't Boba Fett and Han Solo movie the same movie?
They really had nothing to do with each other before that.
What about the whole scoundrel bounty hunter Schlesinger thing?
Well, how many scoundrel bounty hunters are there?
You got to remember, until Han Solo hooked up with the Rebellion, he really wasn't big enough to be on anybody's map.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, Jabba, and even you know, the extra scene that he added back in, Jabba had a genuine affection, which Lucas changed when he made Return of the Jedi. But early on, Jabba had a legitimate affection for Han Solo. Han Solo bent a lot of Jabba's requirements, yeah. You know, and that's obvious in that scene.
They were homies.
Yeah, basically, Jabba was like, this guy's made me a lot of money. I kind of like him. He says some dumb crap, but I kind of like
the guy. He's a likable guy.
He's a likable guy. And I'll continue to use him as long as he doesn't F me over. But if he keeps F me over, I'm going to have to go after him. Mm-hmm. You know, but then, of course, that turns into Return of the Jedi, where it's just animosity.
Yeah.
He's just a big, evil, very one-dimensional villain.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
One of the best ideas I had ever heard, and I heard this on another podcast, was it would be great to sort of take Star Wars in a place to where you could make different movies and just set them in different areas or different times and just sort of just in the Star Wars universe. You can have Jedi and bounty hunters and all that stuff, but just different characters in different places doing different things.
There's apparently JJ wiped the canon or something, is my understanding.
Well, I think Disney did.
It was ridiculous to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't have to necessarily follow the canon, but that doesn't mean you just throw it out. Right. But anyway, there's 17,000 years of canon
crazy.
But you're going to stick with the same 30 years all the time?
Just going to keep making Death Stars and everything.
What about the Quinlan Vos? What about the Dark Horse comic book stories? Those were awesome. Yeah. Those were awesome comics. If they were making a Quinlan Vos trilogy, I would freaking line up to see that one. Wow. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Those were great comics. Just stuff like that.
It's safe to say that you're not excited for Han Solo or Boba
Fett. I'm not. I just don't care.
Right.
I just don't care. I mean, we got Han Solo. He was cool, but we don't need to go back.
Yeah.
And old Han Solo I found more sad than cool. You know, the fact that at the first sign of any trouble, he basically left his wife.
He's that kind of guy.
You know what I mean? Like, he left his wife and just immediately went. And now my nephew, who I love him to death, he made a very good observation. He's like, well, isn't that what people do in real life? And I'm like, you're right. You're right. But he's supposed to be like a hero. He's an archetype.
Yeah.
The whole idea was for him to develop and get better as a human being. And JJ, whoever, chose to say, nah, he's just going to leave
plus,
his
look,
life
I'm
and
not,
go back to doing what he loves. And
I'm
like,
not
that's
a,
lame.
Plus, here's the thing is I'm not a parent. Yeah. I like to believe that I kind of understand, but you guys know once like if you go through what Han Solo went through, would you really just go back to doing what you were doing before? Or would you try your best as a parent to try and sort of maybe even bring your child back or try to convince them to be better, especially if they go down a really weird path?
I certainly feel there would be that period of denial.
Sure.
Except for in Han Solo's case, that denial manifested itself into several years of doing what he did before. I don't know. But I certainly think there's that period of, you know, everything's fine. Everything's fine until you're faced with the reality that it's not fine.
I just think it would have made more sense if he didn't have Kylo Ren. Like, if they didn't have a son, that would have made more sense if he went back to Thieving.
Yeah.
But I feel like once your son or your daughter, whatever, once your child is there, it's like, okay, well, now I got to sort of live my life around them.
Maybe he was doing that, and then Leia got all busy with her career, and Kylo goes off to Knights of Ren school, and he's just sitting at home with Chewbacca. He's just sitting at home with Chewbacca playing PS4.
Well, there's certainly that point where it's easy to say, and it's easy to remember, and I don't know how you agree with this, Sig, because we're both parents of adult children.
If my kids turned to the dark side, I'd be very disappointed.
I'm saying there comes a point where you kind of have to just... You at least for me, there's that conflict of like, this is my baby, this is my 20-year-old that I have to allow to find their own life and way.
Sure.
So there is a process of letting go, and sometimes they don't. Well, oftentimes they don't do or pick choices you would do.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about that. You have to let go, or you're just going to make yourself crazy.
True, but in this instance, it's not
right?
just...
I mean,
yeah, you're completely right.
But in this
right.
instance, it's not just, oh, I'm smoking a little bit of pot, I'm drinking a little bit. This is like, I'm straight up evil. I straight up just do bad things.
I'm Hitler, yeah. It's Hitler's dad. Yeah.
I am assistant to Hitler. You know?
So Hitler's dad became a smuggler again, smuggling beer to Italy or something. Yeah. No, I don't know. That's a fair argument. It's about scale and perspective, I guess.
But I mean, we're all in agreement, basically. Let's go back to the original point, was that Disney's basically just making the same linear
move. Too much
move
nostalgic, yes.
And not sort of trying anything or experimenting.
That's
or
what anything. My concern maybe, is. Yeah, that's maybe what my concern
it's,
is.
Maybe Adam hit the nail on the head by saying he's an archetype. It's not supposed to be real life. It's supposed to be fantastical Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine if a trucker raised a kid in Minnesota, and that kid in Minnesota ran away to New York City, and the dad was on trucking runs all across the country.
If that's all he ever did. Yeah. But remember,
that's what it seemed like.
In Star Wars, that trucker had his own development. That trucker was faced with the realization that his trucking life is a way to hide.
Yeah.
And he started to accept a better life. He's the redeemed hero. That's the archetype. He's the redeemed hero.
Yeah, so it should have stayed like that.
That's what I would think.
Because in real life, you have this whole trucker drama with a lost kid in New York City that's turning bad.
Yeah.
You know, you don't... What the hell? Like, that's not... that. None of that brain issues belong in Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
None of that deep drama belongs in Star Wars.
I think it would have been better if Chewie and Han were actually actively... maybe looking for him. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't
the
know.
Whole time.
Maybe they didn't know that guy was their son at first. That would have made more sense to me.
Right.
Like, he was in constant contact with Leia. We had a lead on Dantooine.
Yeah, they were hot on their
following
trail.
It to, yeah, whatever.
And it would have made more sense that they ran into Finn and Rey.
Exactly.
If they were on that trail.
Exactly.
Not
also,
just
the Millennium Falcon universe. Felt kind of wedged in that, right?
I mean, yeah, I know we're supposed to be talking. I didn't get that either. That made no sense.
They should have never said this thing hasn't been turned on in 3 years, but it's going to run perfectly right now.
That didn't make any sense either. Like, what the heck?
All right, we're picking apart episode 7. So I think we're all, I don't know if you are, but we're all sort of in agreement that Disney's just sort of kind of going this nostalgic route, linear, not really going to try any sort of risky things or try to do something different.
I hope they do.
Mostly, yes.
Yeah.
I do have to say, the director for episode 8, whose name is now escaping me, have you seen Looper?
Yes.
Or Brick?
Have you
seen Brick?
No, I've seen Looper. I like Looper.
Yeah. Fantastic. Both of them.
Yeah.
Fantastic movies. And Brick, by the way, is a super, super low budget. Awesome movie. It used to be on Netflix for years. I don't know if it still is.
Mm.
So I have faith that at least episode 8 will try some interesting things.
He's going to pull an Irvin Kershner.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping
doesn't
for.
Doesn't it seem like every trilogy, like it's already a proven track record, the first trilogy, second trilogy, the second movie in the series is always the best one.
Yeah.
So Empire, Attack of the Clones.
Not in the prequels.
Well, the prequels, honestly, that's probably the best. That's the most well-rounded movie, no doubt. I don't think any of those movies are good.
Out of that original trilogy, probably,
the second one.
It is
the most well-rounded movie, yeah.
That's crazy to say.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It is.
I got to go home and take out those love
I'm telling you, it's a lot better. But no, you're right. And, but I hold out faith for him.
Sure.
Because of the two movies he's done so far. And then, but the other movies, yeah, they're just nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia.
Who's directing the third one? Eva Longoria.
Eva Longoria. Hey, she was involved in John Wick.
Francis Ford Coppola.
She was involved. Yeah, she was. She was one of the producers. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, John Wick was good. Now I don't care for John Wick 2 because it's like, what? I'll wait for John Wick 3, which hopefully will be like Die Hard 3, where it's like good. It's a good.
I know that's kind of how I feel about.
You know, it'd be
Pacific
cool
Rim 2.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it'd be
Guillermo
cool.
Guillermo del Toro's like name only.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't care.
You know, it'd be awesome in John Wick 2. If at the, in the beginning scene they kill Keanu Reeves and the dog goes on a crazy rampage, revenge.
His rescue pit bull he got from the vet or whatever.
Pit bull is pure will.
It's just guys with guns fighting a dog for 120 minutes.
Because the dog he got in the end, the rescue dog he got was a pit bull, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's a big black
the first
pit bull.
One was a, yeah, the first
Did
one was
you
a
see the
beagle.
Poster? I was like, nobody's going to. Why would it better be the dog going.
Yeah.
Just imagine guys shooting Uzis at a dog. And he's just dodging everything, like going for their throats and stuff. Like his dog just killed eight gunmen.
Yeah.
It's John Wick's dog. Oh.
It can't be John Wick. We killed John Wick. It's John Wick's dog.
We killed his dog too. His second dog. Oh crap.
That other dog.
Oh, the rescue dog? Damn.
And the dog like starts patting on the ground. He's like, wait, I think that's Morse code. What's it saying? It says, when he rescued me out of that veterinarian clinic, it was my last day on Earth. He gave me hope again, and you took that away. The dog said all that?
At the end scene.
I'm not even mad. I'm kind of impressed.
At the end scene, I want to see like the villain try to like scamper off, and then the dog just pulls out a gun. Don't move.
In a triumph of the comeback, like in a weird
Was it the dog just biting everyone? Now he's got a gun?
Jesus. That's some craziness.
Okay, so recommending of Rogue One to people?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so watch if you're a Star Wars fan, absolutely.
It's fun.
It's got some issues, but it's fun. I mean, the movie, when you're dealing with Rogue One story, it's good. Yeah, I liked it.
Well, I know we kind of got into ripping up episode seven and going through the prequels, but guys, we're big Star Wars fans. That's
correct.
Yeah, we love that stuff.
You have to compare that stuff to the old stuff to sort of get a better feeling and understanding of what you're watching or what you're looking
at. And that was something I actually came up with possibly a future guest and me the other day was like, well, as a movie by itself, it's like you can't, at this point, you can't really separate the movies. You can't. No. They don't exist by themselves.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, so.
As much as you want them to,
yeah.
We love Star Wars. We love Star Wars. Even the crappiest stuff we've watched 100 times. This comes all out of love.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, guys, thanks so much for listening to the first show of the new year. We really appreciate you if you stuck around. You can go ahead and find us on Facebook at The Geek Lounge and on Twitter at Geek_Lounge.
Yep.
And you can buy our beautiful t-shirts over at TeePublic,
right,
where we will have a few more designs going up pretty soon. But there's a lot of good ones there. I bought a few.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked about having them.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, so please go on there, support the show, and have something cool to wear.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Sig. Thanks for filling in during our incarceration, brief incarceration.
It was scary. Yeah. This podcast is worth risking your life.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice, except I distinctly remember you saying anything else would be better.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, he said literally anything else would be better, if I remember correctly.
Way to go.
Yeah. Thanks. Right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, everybody. Right,
see you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Created by Louise LaTorre and Munch, The Geek Lounge is produced and hosted by Louise LaTorre and Adam Smasher, and was recorded at Giga Hub Studios. You can find this show and many other shows at GigaHub.com and on Facebook under The Geek Lounge or on Twitter at Geek_Lounge.